Good afternoon and welcome to Quality of Life, the radio show sponsored by Quality of Life Medical and Research Center and co-hosted by me, Ronald Zak from Ronald Zak Law and from Quality of Life Medical Center, and Dr. Jack McGettigan. Dr. McGettigan.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
And we have a couple guests today, actually more than a couple surprises.
Mm-hmm.
We have a doctor from our office, Dr. Brockema. Welcome.
And she doesn't really have a microphone, so.
Oh, well, she won't be hearing from her, I guess.
For a change.
And then we have a recurrent guest on our show also, Veronica Sternitsky.
You got it just right.
From the law firm. And I think you two have some news that nobody can use.
Some legal and medical news
that you can't use. So on a slightly more serious topic, the California Supreme Court has increased its ethics rules now for lawyers, saying that lawyers who have a financial or personal interest in a matter have to recuse themselves and not take the case, which... Yeah.
I thought that was always the rule.
That was what I thought was always the rule, too. So glad to see California's catching up with the rest of us. Along the same lines, the U.S. Appellate Court recently, Fifth Circuit, has decided they want attorneys to certify regarding their use of AI in generating petitions and filings to either say that they themselves generated the petition, it wasn't done by AI, or that they reviewed what the AI said. What do you think, Ron? Is this going to make it easier?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I think that if you use AI or any other source, I mean, who drafts this stuff anyway? The attorney usually doesn't draft it. So
Fair.
They're always responsible for it.
Fair.
The tip-off is when it says, "What are you doing, Dave?"
On a slightly happier, well, not happy, but more jovial note, 86-year-old man from Kansas has recently decided that he was willing to spend $13,000 to have his DNA sequence shot to the moon.
Ah.
Little vial.
How much?
$13,000. Okay. The average funeral in the United States is around $10,000, so just slightly over average.
Okay, a little above average.
Yeah. Not quite sure why he wanted to do that, but if it makes him happy.
Hard to say.
Along the same idea of DNA, there have been some interesting DNA sequences done from water in Loch Ness, keeping on my Loch Ness Monster theme. And apparently, Loch Ness Monster is made of algae, or... That's all that's in the water. It's one of the two, and the scientists weren't willing to say which one.
Well, they're wrong. They're wrong. I've got one here that's kind of, I don't know if it's similar to the Loch Ness Monster, but have you ever heard of a radio or a television show, I guess, called Outback Wrangler?
No.
This is an Australian show, but it's shown all over the world about a crocodile egg hunter. And apparently this guy dangles from helicopters and scoops up crocodile eggs. And they made a television show about that. So this is also impacting on aviation. And so the guy was, he died. He was dangling from the helicopter, and the pilot who had been using a lot of cocaine recently, a lot of the people involved in these television shows, I guess, do. And he forgot to put gas in the helicopter. And so the helicopter ran out of fuel, and the pilot survived. He is being prosecuted also, and as is somebody else from the from that TV show. Speaking of people dying, just one of my favorite subjects. This is a story out of India where a husband used a venomous cobra to kill his wife and 2-year-old daughter. He bought the cobra from a snake charmer, telling him that he was going to use it for a religious purpose, and then he released it in his house, and he kind of disappeared for a while, and he was getting away with it until his father-in-law thought that there was something weird happening, and got him investigated, and the police went around and talked to all these snake charmers and found out, yeah, he bought this snake from a snake charmer.
Was that in Tucson?
No, it was close. This was in somewhere in India.
They wouldn't have known unless the father-in-law hadn't started playing his flute in the room.
He probably would have gotten away with it in Tucson, I would think. But this is in the state of Odisha.
Oh, wait a minute. We have good lawyers in Tucson, don't we?
Yeah, probably the lawyers would have gotten him off. Yeah.
Wait, the lawyers aren't venomous.
That's a matter of opinion. Here's a Mississippi story, and that's kind of like India, or Marana. But Mississippi, so a grieving Mississippi family was shocked at their relative's wake earlier this month when the wrong body was laid out in the casket wearing their loved one's clothing and jewelry. So they bring in all the clothes and jewelry for their, I don't know, mom, whoever, and come to her funeral. They pick out her casket, and at least the funeral home got the right casket, the right clothes, the right jewelry, just the wrong corpse.
And, I mean, that's like 90% accurate, though.
Yeah, they did pretty good. So the family is very upset about that. You got another one?
I do. Okay. So apparently a historian in Florida is now saying that the first Thanksgiving wasn't with the pilgrims in the Northeast. They're saying that the first, quote, Thanksgiving involved Spaniards and a local tribe in Florida and occurred in 1565.
Important news again.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's news you can absolutely use.
Well, on that Thanksgiving theme, there is a very controversial post. Do you post? I guess a post on X, formerly known as Twitter. PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. You're a member, aren't you, Veronica?
Not usually.
No. And so they had posted this Thanksgiving meal picture, and I'll hold it up to the microphone so everybody can see it. It's in the picture. And so what it is it's a Thanksgiving table that's set, but sitting around the table are turkeys, and there's a human on the plate. And they were saying they said turkeys are not vegetarians. Turkeys eat mice, lizards, frogs, anything that they can eat, and they don't eat people though. So somebody had fact checked this, and there's never been an incident of a turkey eating a human, and so this was not factual, and they were demanding that it be taken off X because it's not true. It can't happen. So you don't have to worry. I know there's some young people in the studio today, and they looked a little traumatized, but you will not be eaten by a turkey.
Continuing on the Thanksgiving theme, a turkey has been terrorizing the town of West Orange, New Jersey. Locals have dubbed him Turkules. Apparently, he's been destroying property, and local wildlife control shot him with a dart to help put him to sleep. It did not affect him, and he ran off into the woods and is still being searched for. So look out for Turkules.
Looks like there's a caller.
They chickened out.
It was somebody from the Turkey Civil Liberties Union.
Yep. Up
on my screen.
Darn, that would have been a good conversation.
It would have been.
Speaking of that, should we give out our phone number in case somebody does want to call us?
Yes.
Please join the conversation, call 520-790-2040.
At the perfect speed of the pen.
At the speed of the pen. From the swap shop. You have one more?
I do. So a New Zealand woman was recently contacted by police when motorists reported there was hair hanging out of her trunk. Apparently, this was a wig that was used for styling purposes, you know, being all fancy and pretty-like. But, yeah, apparently you need to be careful when driving around because if you have limbs or hair sticking out of your trunk, the police are going to investigate. And I think that's what we call probable cause.
Oh, no, they got wigged out.
So we have with us today, as Dr. McGettigan said, Dr. Brockema and two soon-to-be medical students. They're pre-med students at the moment who participate in some interesting, extraordinary volunteer work, and we're going to be talking to them right after this break.
What is a clinical research study? It's a study that helps answer important questions such as, is it safe? Does it work? Are there side effects? How does it compare to other medicines? All medicines must be tested in clinical research studies before approval. Without people taking part in studies, we would not have new medicines. These studies involve clinic visits and are compensated. Call Quality of Life Medical Research at 520-731-2333. That's 520-731-2333 or qlmc.com.
Now, don't be shocked, but sometimes family members don't agree how things should go after a death. This is especially true when money or valuable property is involved. If you find yourself in the unfortunate situation where a sibling or even a stepchild seems to be acting contrary to the wishes of the person who died, you may need an experienced local probate attorney to advocate for your rights. Find out. Call Ronald Zach Law at 520-999-3738 or contact Ronald Zach Law at ronaldzachlaw.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life, the radio show, co-hosted by Ronald Zach, me, and Dr. Jack McGettigan. We're both from the Quality of Life Medical and Research Center. Dr. McGettigan is the founder of that institution. And I'm also from the Ronald Zach Law, what's it called?
Ronald Zach Law PLC.
Yes, from the law firm. It's had a few different names over the years to... We keep changing it to protect the guilty. And Veronica Sternitsky is here. And we're also here with Dr. Brockema. Welcome, Dr. Brockema. You can't hear her sitting in my microphone, but she's and she's only about 4 feet tall. And we also have two students who work with Dr. Brockema, Lillian Wu and Cameron Mortazavi.
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. So let me ask a couple of questions. And of course, listeners can call with questions, 520-790-2040. And so Cameron, since the microphone's closest to you, why are you here?
Well, me, Lillian, and Dr. Brockema are here to represent Mexona Medical Services, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization meant to service the patients in Sonora, Mexico, more specifically within Sonoyta and Puerto Peñasco. And our purpose for coming here today is merely to inform the citizens of Tucson about our mission, our drive, and hopefully just trying to get the message out about who we are as an organization.
Excellent. So what is the name of the organization?
It is called Mexzona, like Mexico and Arizona. Mash it together. It's Mexzona, M-E-X-Z-O-N-A, Medical Services.
And it's my understanding that kind of the main thing you do is operating a clinic in Rocky Point?
Yes.
Puerto Peñasco?
Yes, so we manage three clinics in Puerto Peñasco and Sonora. Two of them are in Puerto Peñasco, and one of them is in Sonora. On the same day each month of the year, with the exception of August, in which we see roughly about 250 patients each time we come down there, with the help of our amazing physicians such as Dr. Brackema and many others out there.
How many other docs go down there?
It depends on the specific clinic. There are three clinics, as I mentioned. There is a clinic in Sonoyta, which tends to host about three physicians or three providers of sorts. So nurse practitioners as well as physician assistants are are welcome to come down. At the Nueva Esperanza Clinic, which is our newest clinic that opened up in October of 2022, that hosts about three to four medical providers at those clinics. And then our main clinic, which is also in Rocky Point, that's kind of where home base is per se, that one we can see, what do you think, Lillian, maybe like 8 to 10 providers?
Yeah, I'd say so, something like that. These providers too, they don't just come from a student. So I should also preface this with Nexona and itself at the core is a student run organization. So Cameron and myself, we're all undergraduate students at the university here. But these providers, they don't just come from us. So a lot of for example, the founders of these clinics, Dr. George Stravos, along with his wife, Susie Stravos, they personally know a lot of, medical providers that they've worked with as well. So they bring in a lot of providers as well. These providers just volunteer their time. They're very dedicated to the mission of these clinics, just like us.
And as pre-med students, what sort of things are you allowed to do?
Yeah, so that's the really great part about Mexona. We offer a lot of things to the pre-medical students we bring down. And I should also mention that, we don't limit ourselves just to pre-medical students, but we really try to be open to all of the health professions. So we have students interested in being a physical therapist. We have students interested in nursing that come down. Optometry, really the whole variety, and we really emphasize that. But we teach them basic triage skills, so like taking blood pressure, blood glucose, listening to heart rate, things like that, as well as taking chief complaints to see, why the patient is coming to our clinic that day. And so that's one part of it. And those, we train our students, and then once they go down there, they get to have that hands-on experience with the patient. And then the other part of it is that we bring medical interpretation. So a lot of our students, I'd say about 25 of the 30 students we bring down are all Spanish speakers. And so they come down and they either provide medical interpretation for the doctors that are seeing the patients or they're helping in the triage bay with getting those chief complaints. So these students are getting skills in medical interpretation, and that's a really key part, as well as another part of our mission statement is building cultural competence healthcare workers. So we're instilling some really great
skills. And how long have you two been going down?
Yeah, so I started the summer after my freshman year, so I believe that's around June 2021. Feels like a long time ago, but... Yeah, and then Cameron.
So I originally started coming down to Mexona in March of 2022. I have currently been to, I believe it is 16 clinics at this point. And
16, I thought you had three.
Three, well, see, let me rephrase my answer. 16 times I've went down since.
Oh, okay.
I've worked at 16 of the clinics, essentially. They go on at the same time every day or every Saturday of the month. And so within that, we, as an e-board, we tend to scatter ourselves a bit more. So we'll have maybe one or two people managing the Sonoyta clinic, one or two that'll manage the Nueva Esperanza clinic. And then we'll have two or three managing the main clinic. And our role as executive board, which is what Lillian, myself, and Dr. Brackema is. Dr. Brackema is obviously a provider, but she helps with the clinic management. our students that we come, we also invite between 30 and 40 medical, or 30 and 40 students that are undergraduates to come down and help us with the triage component of our clinics, as well as medical interpretation for both the triage aspect as well as for the provider aspect. So that's what our volunteers do. We as eBoard, though, we kind of are more tasked with managing the clinic, making sure everything's going good, essentially putting out fires when fires are needed to be put out, those type of things.
And I have been involved with patients in Puerto Peñasco for the last 10 years. For the last 7 years, particularly with Rocky Point Medical Clinic, and for the last 2 years as medical advisor and mentor for the Mexona Club. And I see that we have a question. May I address it?
Yes, of course.
So the question is, what regulatory hoops do you have to go through in Mexico? Which is a really good question. And the questions, answer to that really is, we have to make sure that everybody has a proper passport, that everybody's vaccinated for COVID, and we interact with the public health department in Puerto Peñasco very closely. In other words, what that means is, our clinic operates if they let us operate. And that entails that on a regular basis, they come down and do pap smears, because that's what they do. And they do vaccinations, and they keep an eye on how we run the clinic. Such as during COVID, we were not allowed to operate for a couple of months. And when we started, they only allowed us to operate if we followed their rules and regulations. Even the houses where we stayed in had to be certified by the city of Puerto Peñasco so that we could stay there.
Certified for what?
Certified for a certain amount of cleanliness and disinfection. So they're really big on that. And the patients we serve are patients who have no insurance. In Mexico, when people move from one state to another, they lose their insurance and they have no way of getting medical care. And mostly what we treat and help manage for these people are high blood pressure and diabetes, because it's rampant. And occasionally we're able to help with amputations and some surgical problems, but that's really not a big part of what we do. And I would like to have Lillian talk about our mission, because that's what's really important. A lot of our students, it's the first time they leave the country. And so they're exposed to a different culture, and cultural sensitivity is extremely important. And so we made up a set of mission statements that we feel are really important. Lillian?
And Dr. Brockma, we're about to hit a break, so can we hold that question until we come back in
Absolutely.
Just a moment?
Absolutely.
What is a clinical research study? It's a study that helps answer important questions such as, is it safe? Does it work? Are there side effects? How does it compare to other medicines? All medicines must be tested in clinical research studies before approval. Without people taking part in studies, we would not have new medicines. These studies involve clinic visits and are compensated. Call Quality of Life Medical Research at 520-731-2333. That's 520-731-2333 or qlmc.com.
Do you need a will? Do you need a trust? What's the difference and what's the answer? Everyone needs a will. Not everyone needs a trust. Even if you have a trust, you need a will. Would you like a face-to-face meeting with an experienced local attorney who will give you direct and honest answers about what's best for you and your situation, respecting your wishes and accomplishing your goals? This is what you get when you schedule a consultation with an attorney at Ronald Zach Law. You'll walk away with valuable and useful information, even if you choose not to do an estate plan with Ronald Zach Law. Contact Ronald Zach Law at 520-999-3738 or on the web at ronaldzachlaw.com. That's ronaldzachlaw.com.
Welcome back to Quality of Life Radio Show with our guest, and we had an important question coming up from Dr. Brockema to Lillian Wu. Are you the president of the club?
Yes, I'm one of the co-presidents. Mexona is run by a lovely e-board. There's six of us that are on there, and we just took on three interns that we've been training. Since Cameron and I are seniors, we're going to be leaving soon, so we're really trying to pass it off as best as we can. But regarding Dr. Brockema's question, I just like to read the mission statement for Mexona. So our mission is to improve health outcomes in the communities of Sonora, Mexico, by increasing healthcare accessibility while providing clinical opportunities to pre-health students. And kind of to really tie into that mission, we also have key pillars to Mexona. And they include compassion, kindness, service, collaboration, and teamwork. And a lot of these, we as Mexona find them very important. For example, collaborations. It started off with, we actually worked as undergrads, we tied Mexona in with the College of Medicine here at University of Arizona. So within the last few years, we've been able to establish an actual CUP clinic with the College of Medicine. CUP stands for Clinic for Underserved Populations, Commitment to Underserved Populations. So it's an avenue for U of A medical students to come down and serve as well and use their skills and capacities as essentially, provider trainees and be able to see these patients in a medically underserved area. From there, we also have Creighton Medical School ties as well. So we have medical students coming from Creighton as well. And we've recently expanded into the College of Pharmacy. So we've been also bringing pharmacy students down for the last few clinics. And access to regular medications is really important. Like Dr. Brockema said earlier, a lot of the times we're going there to help manage diabetes and high blood pressure. So having the right medications and prescriptions is really key for that. And it's a great opportunity for those pharmacy students to learn. Some of our other collaborations also include CCV, which is Crisis Church of the Valley. And so they have an amazing commitment to Mexona as well. And I think they really respect our mission. So they provide doctors, nurse practitioners, physician assistants as well. And then we also have some small collaborations as well with other pre-medical clubs on campus at U of A. Cameron can talk about some of our other pillars as well.
And let me just take a moment to let our audience know about the phone number again in case they forgot to write it down or maybe they're joining us late. If you have some questions or want to ask something special of our guest, the phone number is 520-790-2040. And we'd love to entertain some phone calls. And otherwise, Cameron, it's all yours.
Absolutely.
I see a question from a caller. Mm-hmm. And it is, as seniors, is your next step residency? And these are senior undergraduates, and which is why it's so amazing that they're so involved and doing the things they're doing with Mexona. And their next step is medical school. And we have a recently accepted undergraduate to medical school, being Cameron. So I'll let you speak, Cameron.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And so that's one of the things that I love so much about Mexona is it is, as Lillian kind of demonstrated in a lot of what she was saying, is it's very much student-led. So also, you know, us as an e-board, it's mainly undergraduate-led in the sense that we're the ones managing the clinic and making sure everything's running well. But also there are leadership within the Arken Coit College of Pharmacy here in Tucson, as well as the University of Arizona College of Medicine Tucson and in Creighton. All of those, they just have their kind of team leaders for their medical students or their pharmacy students that are able to be there for any sort of questions or any other concerns. And they're almost like a liaison from us to, or from the pharmacy students to us, or pharmacy students to providers, or however it works, essentially. They're just leadership for their branch of it.
Tell us, congratulations again on getting in. Your start then this coming July?
Yes.
August?
When? So I'm proud to say I'll be a MedCat within the class of 2028. And so I'm not 100% certain on the start date. I know it is in the middle of July. I think it's July 15th. That's our orientation week. And then the following week is when medical school will actually start. And one of the things I really hope to do staying here within the University of Arizona College of Medicine is I want to continue my Mexona work. And I made that very clear with the medical school when I was interviewing and such. And one of the great things is, since it is an official CUP clinic, I am able to be, I'm eligible to be a leader on their, for their Mexona CUP clinic when the time comes. And which is, you know, a extreme privilege of mine, because not many schools or many places have an opportunity like this. And, you know, I've heard from the current medical students, for example, Noah Linsky. He is a first year medical student, class of 2027. And I went to him after his first clinic and asked him how things went, if we can improve anything for him and his experience down there. And he was just electric with energy. And he was saying how it was so, he's like, I've learned so much from these clinics. I've learned how to interview and present a patient in Spanish, which that's something I have not had to do yet. And that's something, a skill that I think that he thinks would be very beneficial to him as he continues to serve the Arizona, specifically Southern Arizona community. So, yeah.
Getting a little ahead of the game, but do you have any idea what you want to end up practicing? What kind of medicine?
You know, it is, I'm very optimistic about any sort of medicine I go into. I think I would be very open to, the Mexona clinics have shown me how important it is to have, all physicians are very much in need, but specifically to be a generalist of sorts, whether that's in family medicine, whether that's just a general pediatrician, general internal medicine, or a general internist, general surgeon. Any of those are kind of where I'm currently looking towards, because I think that allows me to help the most amount of people service the most amount of people that I could. So that's kind of where I'm leaning to, but I'm, like I said, I'm very optimistic about anything.
And Lillian, I hear you're doing a gap year. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So what does that mean exactly for our listening audience? And for me, who I think I'm a little away from that.
So a gap year, I think, has that concept has become more relevant with the recent years of medical applicants. So what you do is you have a full year between when you graduate college before you matriculate into medical school. But the way that the medical school application process is set up, it is a year-long process from when you submit your first personal statement until you hopefully get that acceptance letter. So it's become a much more, I think, beneficial route for a lot of students on their medical journey. I think it provides the opportunity for students to become more culturally capable, just in general, more wise. You have a deeper understanding of yourself and what you want to accomplish before, you know, you dive into the craziness of medical school. So, yeah, with my gap year, I'm still trying to line up some things with what I'd like to spend my time doing while I'm also applying to medical school. But I spent a few summers ago researching at the Mayo Clinic at their main branch in Rochester, Minnesota, and I really enjoyed my time there, so I might return, although I'm a little scared of the cold after being in Arizona.
I see there's another question, and that is there a problem which presents more in Mexico than the U.S.? And my answer to that after going to Mexico after all these years is really resources. Just managing diabetes alone, which a lot of it is exercise and diet, is impossible to address for most of these people because we are treating the poor of the poor and they don't have the resources to get a decent diet and are not usually able to go out and exercise because of their lifestyles. And a lot of them don't have jobs or have part-time jobs, but resources is really the great thing, which is one of the reasons that we started our 501(c). And I have to say, and I just want to take a minute to compliment this Mexona group, which, you know, I just get half of the privilege of standing by and being their advisor and mentor. But in the last 2 years, we have progressed from taking 10 volunteers down to almost 40. And, most of these are, translators. And
we don't. Sorry, I just wanted to add that we have 763 undergraduate students on our listserv. So, you know, we're taking quite a chunk out of the UA undergraduate population. Right.
And because we want to do more, we started the 503C that is in place. And anyone that's interested in the work we do and wants to contribute, we have a website. Information about the 501(c) is on that, and we'd welcome any contributions to help.
So it sounds like that's your primary funding source. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. What's the name of the website?
The website that we currently operate under is it's Mexzona. So that's MEXZONA. .square SQUARE dot SITE. So it's a Mexzona Square site. It's currently, it's a fantastic site that allows us to, we're currently working on it to be almost a central hub of how we operate. So you can feel free to donate and contribute to our organization there. But also, as we progress, you also see there's a lot, or as you go through the website, you'll see that there's a lot of pictures of our efforts down there. There's a lot of pictures showing like what our clinics are like, what our patient population tends to be like. And, you know, you just see kind of the smiles on all of our volunteers' faces, as well as you get to learn more information about Mexzona in general on this site. And in time, we hope to expand this to have more informational videos about and videos touring the clinics, showing our lovely supporting fan base what we do down there, and kind of getting a more of a pictorial representation of what it is like down there in Mexico and what our services entail.
I had a question too, and we're getting close to another break, so I think maybe I'll save it till when we come back, but to key it up just a little bit, you said something about Creighton. That seems like that's a long ways away from Tucson.
Yeah, so Creighton School of Medicine actually just opened
a Phoenix branch?
Opened a Phoenix location.
Also, that's cheating. They're not having to travel that far.
Exactly, yeah. So originally, it allowed you to transfer over to Phoenix for the second half of your medical education, but now the medical students spend all 4 years there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll take a break and we'll be back.
Have you been told that you need a trust to avoid probate? Not true. Have you been told that a trust will always avoid probate? That's not true either. If avoiding probate is your goal, I can help you with an estate plan that avoids probate after your death without the extra work and expense of a trust. If you need a trust for other reasons, I can help with that too. Learn the truth about trusts.
You can reach Ronald Zach Law at 520-999-3738. That's 999-3738 or ronaldzachlaw.com.
Is sciatica leg pain affecting your life? Doctors at Quality of Life Medical Research are conducting a study of an investigational new treatment to provide long-term relief without steroids or opioids. You must be between 18 and 70, have had radiating leg pain in the past 8 weeks, no recent injections or steroids, and be able to visit the study center over a 12-month period. Call Quality of Life Medical Research at 520-731-2333 for more information or an appointment. Compensation provided. 520-731-2333. Clinical research helps answer important questions about new medications, devices, and vaccines. To learn more about upcoming studies, call 520-731-2333.
Welcome back to the final segment of Quality of Life Radio. This is Dr. McGettigan, a co-host with Ronald Zach, the other co-host. And we have special guests today, Dr. Brockema and two of her pre-med students telling us about the work they do down in Mexico and mainly at, Puerto Penasco? Or how do you guys say that?
Puerto Penasco.
Puerto Penasco.
Yes. We also serve Sonoita, which is the other town an hour up. But these clinics all started with George and Dr. George Stravos, along with his wife, Susie. And around 20 years ago, so they were serving 30 years ago. I'm just correcting me, sorry. About 30 years ago, this clinic was nothing more than a tent on the side of the road with some medications. And so it's really been a love of labor of George, along with his wife, to build it into this full-scale clinic, and not just one clinic, but now three clinic locations that operate from 8 a.m. until we see that last patient. So sometimes we are there as late as 4 or 5 in the evenings. And we don't just offer services for general medicine, but we also offer physical therapy, which is a very important aspect for a lot of that population in Mexico. Occasionally, we work with a nonprofit called Little Eyes, and they come and offer free prescriptions for eyeglasses and also provide free eyewear. And we also have many other services that span beyond just general medicine. But so these clinics, we see about 276 patients in total. Each clinic is not the same in terms of scale. The biggest clinic that was first created sees around 171. So these numbers are based on our most recent clinic in November, which was just this last weekend. So in our main clinic, we saw 171 patients. In the smaller clinic we have in Sonoita, which is the border town, we saw 29 patients. And in our newest clinic that just opened last year, October, Nuevo Esperanza, we saw 76 patients. So in total, we saw 276, and we just are really trying to cover, you know, the widest geographical base as possible.
That was in one day, right?
Yes, all in one day.
Yes.
Last
with
Saturday.
With many providers.
Exactly a week from today, actually.
Yeah, including a pediatrician, and that has become very popular in the new clinic that we started in Nuevo Esperanza. So it's a lot of well baby checks, but those are really important, and we're hoping to start a program for malnutrition because malnutrition affects the kids not just as they're growing up, but also as adults, as it means compromised immune systems, and also they tend to die at a younger age. So we're really excited to have a pediatrician with us now who can help us set up a program for that. And we're also inspired by Dr. David Beda, who has volunteered all over the world and set up programs like that, and he's out of Phoenix.
So it sounds like having providers is really important. Are you looking for more providers?
Oh, yes, we are.
So who would providers contact if they wanted to volunteer?
They would contact me, Dr. Rimke, R-I-E-M-K-E, and the last name is Brakema, B-R-A-K-E-M-A. And the easiest way to contact me is my cell number, which is 520-891-4580. And I take text or calls, and I'll get back to you. And that would be a wonderful opportunity.
And if we have any callers out there that have some burning questions, I'll repeat the phone number one more time for a call in, 520-790-2040, to ask a question of Dr. Brakema or our two pre-med students, two future medical students, one who's about to... Somebody's...
I have a question when you're ready.
Oh, go for it.
I would like to know from each of the three of you, Dr. Brakema, Lillian, and is it Cameron? Okay, got it. I would like to know from each of you, just 30 seconds, what got you into medicine?
All right, since I've been in medicine the longest, which is greater than 35 years, is I got into medicine because I wanted to be a doctor so bad I could taste it in the back of my mouth. Nothing stopped me, and there were many things that got in my way. But every time they got in the way, I would just think about what I wanted to do and keep my eye on the prize.
Lillian?
Yeah, I think as with most other people, you reach the end of high school and the older relatives start elbowing you and asking, hey, where do you want to study in college? Where do you want to go? And I was kind of unsure at the time. Looking back, though, I realized that medicine really made sense for me. I grew up being super academically overachieving all the time, and I knew I wanted to just be good at something, but I didn't really know what. But I found that a lot of the times I could attribute my successes to the friendships I made with people older than me that were equally ambitious as me, and they were giving me the advice about, oh, take this class, or this teacher has really hard quizzes, but it's okay because they give you good homework points, things like that. And I really loved the mentorship of it. And as I, you know, took their advice and learned a couple of things of my own along the way, I ended up being a mentor for other people, and I absolutely loved it so much. I still do it now. One of our e-board members on Mexona was someone I met before she even entered college, and that's how I got her onto Mexona. But I think I really just love the mentorship part of it, and it's something that makes sense to me as a provider. You are always teaching your patients and educating them about health. So,
Cameron?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so for me, it really started out with my parents. So my parents are both family medicine physicians. I was originally born in a small town in Ohio, just outside of it, called Magnolia, Ohio. And from there, I saw a lot of the rural hardships that a lot of these farmers had to go through. And from there, I went through my own set of medical conditions that I had to battle through. And I really embraced always having that kind of caring physician that was always there for me. So I would have a mix of physicians that weren't as, they were kind of afraid to speak to my level. They were kind of, with my father being a physician, oftentimes they would kind of talk over me and talk to my dad because he understood the jargon per se, but they could never really relate to me. And so with Mexona, I actually found my love for medicine, like truly. It started out back then, but it was kind of unveiled through Mexona. And that was once I actually got my parents to start coming down to Mexona. So my parents are both, like I said, family medicine physicians. And after probably my first 3 or 4 clinics, I recruited them down to Mexona and down to Puerto Peñasco. And since then, they've been just as hooked as me.
Where do they live?
They're both in Tucson as well. So we moved out here from Ohio back in 2010. And they've been practicing since.
And I got to say that the experience is that once we can get a provider to come down with us, that by the end of the clinic, they're like, wow, what a great experience, because the patients are so grateful. And it is really about connecting with people. We can't always solve their problems. And that is one of the things you have to learn when you go to a country with fewer resources. But you can connect with people and you can give people hope. And that is a wonderful feeling.
When you go down there and take care of these folks, and you're once a month, is that my understanding? Do you see the same folks in a month typically to follow up?
A lot of times.
I would say since I've come down here, or like I said, I've been down to about 16 times now. And since then, I've seen our patient retention go through the roof. I don't necessarily know the exact numbers, but you know, a lot of them, I didn't, when I first came down originally, I didn't know any Spanish, and I was still able to connect with them. And now, you know, every person I see down there, they're what they say, mi amigo mejor, which is my favorite, my best friend.
And how's your Spanish now?
It's improving. It's, you know, not 100% yet, but I hope to start interpreting at the triage level come January.
That's always been a dream of mine to learn Spanish, and I know a couple words. I need to get more serious, I suspect.
So. Well, maybe you should volunteer, Dr. McEdigan. It'll help you learn your Spanish.
Maybe the thought has crossed my mind. I'm sure Dr. Baracamo would be twisting my arm here in the near future. So. Mm-hmm.
As the only non-medical person in the room, I feel like you should all volunteer.
But you could still come down and volunteer. We would find work for you.
Absolutely.
But was there, Charles, did you have another question or?
There was a caller, but we don't have time.
Oh, darn. At least.
Well, we got 30 seconds if they can ask a question in 10, and you can answer it in 20 if you want. I will.
Sure,
go for it.
Caller Vivian.
Poor people in America, why go to Mexico?
Start over, Vivian. We didn't get you.
Why don't you provide care to poor people in America? Why do you go to Mexico?
Excellent question. Do you want to answer that, Dr. Baracamo?
It is much, much harder to volunteer in this country than it is in Mexico. And unfortunately, that probably is my answer in 20 seconds.
And we appreciate the call and appreciate our guest today.
Thank you both so much for having us. This is a great opportunity.
We'll see you all next week.
Yep. Thank you.